Five and I get so excited about this one.
When we left off, I had just accused the federal prosecutor that he and his agents were withholding evidence in the case, and it got pretty tense. Let's pick the story up there.
So, the more I talked to Wes, the more I thought that they were withholding.
Okay.
I told
Corey
they're withholding.
And Mr.
basically challenged me to prove it. And I have to prove it now. I don't know if I can, but I'm going to give it everything I've got.
I remember when you first told me that story, Pam, how fired up. Like, there was so much determination in your face. I just love you.
I don't know how many years it's been, but she's sitting on my couch and she's fired up here. I can't even imagine when it was live.
I was really fired up.
I bet you were.
I really was.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. You know, all through the suppression hearing and the first trial that Pam wasn't a part of, they never even brought up the broken recorder. They just denied they ever recorded.
Yeah, they came up with that story later.
I tell Corey
we've got a problem.
So Corey files a motion to compel. So
what does that mean?
That's a hearing where we ask the judge to compel them to give us all the evidence that they have.
Give it up.
Yeah, it's kind of like going to your mom or dad saying, like, he's not playing the game right. He's cheating. And so he turns to Mr. and says, Your Honor, we have given them everything. I do not know what the defense is talking about. And this is a month before trial that we have this hearing. And Mr. and I, there's not a lot of
love
between us. Uh-huh. He's pissed because he's having to do things differently than he didn't have to do at the last trial.
Right.
So I leave and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, like I really have a lot of pressure on me.
And you've stirred a hornet's nest. Yeah.
They're mad. I'm mad. Uh-huh. We're all totally in and we all want to win. So I got to go see Boo to find out if Boo's going to tell the truth or what. We really believe that his mother was threatened. What I did is, Wes has diabetes.
Okay.
And he's a former Marine, and so he was going to the VA hospital quite a bit.
Okay.
And it was a real hassle to get him...
From the halfway house.
Yes. A couple months before trial, we filed a motion to get him released so that he could get his health stabilized.
At the VA.
And apparently, while he was doing that, he was helping me investigate.
Yeah, right after that, I went on a run when they sent me up to the VA hospital. And I'd already been in jail enough. I wasn't supposed to leave the VA compound, and I didn't do anything wrong. So I wasn't going to sit around at the VA hospital waiting for them. Boo flat out said that they had threatened his mom, and so he made up the stupidest story to give them. And they bought it hook, line, and sinker. What Boo told them was that I came to his house with a brick of C4, but I hung it with a clothespin on their clothesline.
Seriously? A brick of C4 on the clothesline with a clothespin.
Yes, ma'am.
So Wes tells me, hey, you got to go talk to Boo because they threatened him. So I'm going to talk to Boo. And it's on my way. My family has a cabin up that way. The whole family is going to be there for the weekend. My sister says, why don't you ride with me? And I said, oh, I can't ride with you because I have to stop and talk to this gangster on my way for the weekend.
Uh-huh.
And she said, no. You're not going to ride alone just for that. And plus, you're not going to go talk to a gangster by yourself. I'll go with you.
Mm-hmm. Because she's about a minute bigger than you.
Right.
Maybe 2 inches and taller, and that's about it.
Exactly. Yeah. And I was like, no.
And two little blonde ladies.
Yeah. I do not want to have you come, because I'd have to protect you and me. Because I'd seen her play touch football, Bear Lake. And if we give her the ball, she's so scared of getting touched. Like the two-hand touch, she just stops running. So I'm not even tackle football. That's touch. But she's my big sister and very cool. She loves me.
I
said, look, you wait in the car. Nope, I'm not waiting in the car. I'm going to make sure you're safe. Mm-hmm. Oh, great.
Uh-huh.
I get to the door and Boo's mother answers the door. I said, is Boo at home? She says, yeah, just a minute. So she goes into the kitchen and invites us in to sit down in the living room. It's a small house, this little old house.
Yeah.
Cindy and I are sitting on the couch. She is so nervous. I swear, I swear I could hear her heartbeat where I was sitting. She was so scared.
I love Cindy. I love her.
And just before we went in, she's like, no, this guy really is a gangster. I didn't want to tell her he was actually a Black Panther.
Yeah.
He bit some guy's ear off and stuff.
Yeah, details.
That's like...
You don't need those details.
You don't need those.
He's just a big guy.
Here he comes. He's not happy to have us here. He slowly walks down the stairs, and he is a big dude. And Wes is right. Picture like Mike Tyson big.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, who are you?
And Cindy's like, he's going to snap me in half.
Yeah, Cindy's
and
not saying...
And he's going to go to you.
She does not say one word. And that
That's
is very rare for Cindy.
Breathing.
Yes, exactly. I introduced myself. I understand that the feds came here and got a statement from you. And he did not want to talk to me. He's like, I don't want to make a statement. I don't want to talk. I don't want to be part of this. I said, well, sadly, you are part of this. They will subpoena you. You will be at trial, and we need to know what you're going to say. Did Wes come over here with C4? And he just like, yeah, he did. He put C4 out on that clothesline. And I was like, what? How did he do that?
Yeah.
How?
Did he take it out and putty it?
He got so mad because I asked questions. Mm-hmm. Made him a little bit mad.
Mm-hmm.
No, more than a little bit mad.
Yeah.
He was a little bit mad, just the fact he had to get up from to come downstairs to talk to us.
Mm-hmm.
Every word I said made him more and more angry. Then I said, did the feds threaten you that they would put your mother in jail? And that was it, man. He was like, get out. I'm not talking to you. Get out of my house. Cindy was like, I was going to still try to talk.
She was
already
car.
Up.
Uh-huh. And the car was started.
Yes.
The side door was open.
I could hear the... No.
Run, Pamela. I'll wait around the corner.
So sadly, that was the statement I got from Boo.
Oh,
because
that's it.
Yeah, that was it. He would not talk. And
so you know you hit a nerve.
Oh,
seriously.
Big time. So we're getting ready for trial. What I know is we're all in so big time now.
Right.
And I'm at war with the prosecutor. I have a personal vendetta. He's mm-hmm. challenged me to prove that they're withholding. Mm-hmm. I look through the stuff of what they went through in the first trial. And Wes had told me about how a couple weeks before this all came down, he got a call from a guy, Tim. He said, Tim and I hate each other. Wes had repoed a car of his.
Oh, yeah.
So Wes didn't like Tim.
No.
And Tim
no
didn't,
love lost.
No love lost between those two guys. And Tim didn't like Wes. A couple weeks before the whole bust came down, Wes gets a phone call from Tim.
So Tim calls me up late at night. He makes a comment. Hey, bro, I'm wondering, do you still have that C4 for sale? And the first thing I said is, how'd you get this number? Why would you even call me?
Yeah, I didn't even like you.
He made up some lame excuse. I mean, the only dealing I ever had with Tim is I went to repo a car. He had molested this girl. So I stole this car. I took all the computers, the video cameras, tapes, everything he had in there, and I gave all that stuff to the parents of the girl. Tim actually had shown up at my apartment right after I did that with a guy by the name Billy the Kid, who he scared people.
Yeah?
And I politely asked him to leave, and they did. That was my only dealing ever with Tim.
So when Wes got the call from Tim, he was
like,
suspicious.
Why would you call me?
And they had this statement from Tim. Tim had a big drug house. Big, big time drug house. They had a statement that Wes had gone to that drug house trying to sell C4. That was one of the statements that was in the discovery. But in the first trial, they hadn't had Tim testify.
Gotcha.
So as I'm looking through the case, I started thinking, if I'm Rob and I'm trying to win and he knows that I'm upping the game here.
Yes, the ante is high.
I think I'd go talk to Tim and see if I can have Tim testify also. Because mm-hmm. their witnesses that they had in the first trial really sucked.
Okay.
Obviously, they were bad enough the judge granted a new trial.
Well, and obviously bad enough that Rob said they're all liars.
Right.
So
exactly.
He's already aware. He's
already aware of what he's dealing with. Is that not a scary thought to all of us? That if a prosecutor knows and says that the witnesses are all liars, that he's proceeding with the case?
Yes. Very scary.
Yeah, and Tim is truly scum of the earth. At the time, he had over 100 charges for identity theft, for dope dealing, you name it. That guy had it. And they let him all off if he would testify against me. Let him off all those charges.
Well,
wow.
So I decided, if I'm in the prosecutor's shoes, I'm going to go get Tim to testify because mm-hmm. he didn't in the first trial.
Right.
I need him in the second one. So I look for Tim.
And?
He's in prison.
Oh, okay.
So we're now like 10 days before trial. I go to the prison, I go through the warden's office, and when you go to the prison to see someone, it's like many levels of security to get in there. When you get to the gate, you're checking in, you have to tell them what you're doing there, who you're going to see, show my PI license, I'm going to talk to a witness in this case. And they always ask, do you have any weapons? It seems like the silliest question to me. If someone is really trying to sneak weapons in, is that question going to suddenly, like, I was going to try that, but now that you asked, I didn't know you were going to ask.
Yeah, exactly.
So I always laugh and say, nope, I left them all at home today.
Yeah.
So then I go in, check into the warden's office. There was some reason that he didn't want to let me visit because I hadn't scheduled it with this, because Tim was not my client.
Right.
And if they're not my client, it's a little harder thing to get the opportunity to interview them. I explained my situation. I said, look, I am down to the wire on this. I'm 10 days from trial. Can you please work with me? And he was really nice. I've already passed through the main prison gates. Then I go through the prison to the warden's office. Then I leave there. Then I go through a separate where this guy is in his housing. So I have to go through double doors to get there. Leave all my weapons again.
Right.
And then I go through another metal detector, another guard, and then they take me to this little room. And they give me a contact visit with Tim.
Go sit in the room with him?
Yep.
Is that what you mean by contact?
That's exactly what I mean.
Don't pick up the phone. You're not behind glass?
Nope, I am not behind glass. He is not shackled. He is not handcuffed. They just bring this guy to me and put me in a room it's like a prison cell. It's about 6x9. There's a table in there and a couple chairs, and that's it. And there's one little window in the door so that the guards that pass every 15 or 20 minutes.
Could look in and make
sure you're not dead. Exactly. Or to see when I am dead to get me out.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
We better pick her up and gather her weapons.
Yeah, we should. Exactly.
Were you scared?
Terrified, actually. Because remember, I'm not far away from my own sexual assault from a client. I'm literally like only 9 months out from my ordeal. Uh-huh. And the guard brings Tim to me, and he's got his prison uniform on. He's about 6'1", 6'2", probably 240.
Okay.
He's got tattoos, not sleeves, but a lot of tattoos down his arms. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't know me. And what's even worse, usually if it's a client, I can say, hey, I'm here to help you. And so they let their guard down. They're okay with me. This guy's not okay with me.
Well, you're like, I'm here to call you a liar.
I'm representing the guy that you
don't
hate.
Don't come around the table.
Yeah, remember that guy that wanted to beat you up because he said you molested that girl?
Yeah.
That's my client.
Yeah.
I have my briefcase with my notebook in there, my pen, and I have a jacket on. I have a sleeveless shirt under my jacket, but I'm not taking my jacket off for anything. And he comes in the second I see him, and I realize, wait a minute, they brought him this is a contact visit. He is not restrained at all. Okay.
I can't even imagine.
And this guy is not my client's friend.
No.
He's his enemy.
Right.
And he truly dumb.
Wow.
Which is even more dangerous.
And he's in prison. He doesn't have anything to lose.
He is in prison.
He's already there.
So beads of sweat start forming on my forehead. And I'm seriously stressed. But I'm just acting cool, like, hey, I need to know, did Wes ever come to your house to sell C4? And he's like, oh, yeah, absolutely. I said, can you explain your house to me? And he admits, I was really big into drugs. I had a drug house, and my house was so secure, I had cameras everywhere.
Oh,
really? And he's like, yeah, I not only had cameras everywhere, I had a security guy at the door. You couldn't get in without going through the security guy.
And you're like,
oh, really?
Really?
Now, he's telling me this thinking he's telling me how cool and sophisticated his stuff is, but all he's really doing is
giving you information.
I'm like, this is awesome.
You've hit the gold
mine. Oh, I said, where were your cameras? Well, we had a camera down at the driveway. As people pull in the driveway, we'd see what vehicle and who they were. We had cameras at each door, and we had cameras inside. Oh, okay. So Wes came and did he use drugs? No, Wes didn't really use drugs, but he came because he was trying to sell this C4 explosives. Oh, really? I said, did he sell any? No, he couldn't sell any, so he just went in the backyard and buried it. I said, so no one would buy the C4, so he just said, I will bury it in the backyard then.
Do you have a shovel I can borrow?
That's what I said.
Serious.
Did he have a shovel in his trunk? Or did he ask to borrow your shovel? And Tim's like, I don't know. He hadn't thought that far ahead.
No, not with the story. This is BS.
Yeah. I was actually a little bit hopeful that he'd tell the truth that this was set up. And I said, I understand you called Wes a couple weeks before he got busted. And he said, yeah, I'd been arrested. So they asked me if I had anything that I could give them. And I told them I could give them Wes.
Just out of the blue.
Yeah.
Of all the people doing drugs in my home,
yeah.
I think I'll pick Wes, who doesn't do drugs.
Which does...
But he dug up my backyard.
But doesn't that tell you how much he hates Wes?
Yes. Yes. And so, how much it was planted for him to call.
Yes. So I said, when you were in there being interrogated and you gave them that information, were they recording you at that time? And he said, oh, they were videotaping. They had a camera right there. They were videotaping the whole thing. Once again, I don't have any of this. Yeah. I've never seen it. So I was like, oh, okay. I'm thinking, man, I got a lot of good stuff out of this. Mm-hmm. But I'm still, like, just so nervous. I just want to get the hell out of there.
Sure.
Oh, and then I thought, you know, but I just got to check. I said, so, hey, have you heard from the U.S. Attorney's Office? Have you heard from Mr. And he said, yeah, there was a guy here last week, a prosecutor. And I said, yeah, was it Rob? And he said, yeah, he came here last week. I was like, yes. I knew it. I knew this is the road he was going to take.
Yeah.
I was so happy that I had anticipated it.
Right.
And without my even asking, Tim says, yeah. And I didn't even ask him. And he offered to get me in drug court and get me out of prison. I didn't even ask him for help. And he just said he'd do that for me. Oh, wow. That's really nice of him, isn't it? And he's like, yeah.
Did you ask him what he had to do in order to get out?
This testimony.
Oh, gotcha.
So now, just like you were thinking, what? He buried C4 in the backyard. Certainly the feds are going to go look for that.
Yeah.
So I go look up Tim's old house.
But you leave
the prison. I leave the prison to Tim's old house and knocked on the door. I don't know who lives there now. Knock on the door. This guy answers. He looks like a nice, clean-cut guy. His name's Cameron. And I said, hi, you don't know me. I know this seems really odd, but I am a private investigator. I'm working on a federal case. And there is a claim as part of that case that he buried C4 in the backyard of this house. Do you own this house? And he said, yeah, I do. Okay, well, I need to know, have the feds been here in the last week? No. Have they been here ever since you've owned this house? No. Have you heard from anyone? Have you heard from the U.S. Attorney's Office or from ATF that there may be some danger
FBI,
in your backyard?
The Ogden Police.
Anyone.
Anyone besides me.
Right. And he said, nope. And I was like, okay, could I get your number?
Could so you that write I could, that down?
Because and... I was going to subpoena his
sure.
butt. Like,
yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
The feds are going to, like, the U.S. attorney's going to tell this story and he doesn't even believe it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because if he really thinks there's explosives in a guy's neighborhood and the world is so at danger from Mr. Odinger.
Yeah. Gather up your stuff.
We should follow up with what these witnesses are telling us. So,
the lying witnesses.
Exactly. And then the next thing I did was I dug around and found out who Tim's security guard was at the house.
Oh, okay.
Found that guy. And I said, hey, I need to talk to you. Did you run security at Tim's house? And he said, yeah, I was the guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me all about their security system. They had cameras here, there, everywhere. There was no part of the house that anyone could go to without being seen.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, oh, you were what they call the doorman. Did you know Mr. Odinger? Do you know Wes? And he said, no, I don't know him. And I said, could he have come into the house?
Without you knowing.
Right. And he said, absolutely not. I said, are you sure of that? And he said, absolutely, completely sure. I said, how do you know this? And he said, because I wouldn't let anyone in the house if I didn't know them. If I don't know them, you're
not
coming
in
this drug house.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know if you're an undercover agent or someone. And if I don't know you, you could be undercover. And I don't know Wes. No way is he getting in the house. And I said, okay, tell me what about all the video and everything? And he said, oh, the feds took that when they arrested Tim. So they already had all of this evidence. So
that doesn't have any evidence on it.
Right.
Okay.
I said, well, who else do you know that could corroborate what you're telling me? And he said, well, my fiance lived here in the house. So I track her down, find her. I interview her. She says the same thing. She does not know who Wes is. I show her a picture of Wes. I was at the house all the time because I was engaged to the
What's
doorman, but they lived there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was their life, using drugs, protecting Tim. That was it. It's a horrible life, but that was their life.
Yeah.
Now we're getting ready for trial. I am really, really scared. I'm feeling all the pressure on me. And Right before trial, I tell Wes, you need to wear a suit to court. I want you to look nice. And Wes says, I don't own a suit. Okay, I'll tell you what. I won't make you get a suit, but you need to get a shirt and tie. Mm-hmm. And look nice. Like
professional. Coming in. And last thing you want to do is look like a thug.
So I said, look, you go buy a yellow shirt or a blue shirt or a white shirt. You just tell me what color. You have to have at least 2 button-down shirts. Mm-hmm. And he said, I don't even know how to tie a tie.
Yeah.
So I said, look, you go get a couple shirts. I don't care if you get them at the DI, the mm-hmm. thrift store.
Wherever.
The Walmart. I don't care. But you're going to have 2 dress shirts. You tell me what color shirt you're going to wear the next day to court. My dad is at my place a lot, and I will go grab one of the ties out of my guest room. So I would grab my briefcase and my tie, ride the public transport on the way to the courthouse. I would sit on tracks mm-hmm. and tie that tie on my way. And then when I got to the courthouse, I'd meet Wes outside. I'd pull it off, slip it over his head, and
tighten it up.
Tighten it up, yep. And we'd go into court.
That's funny.
Funny. It's hilarious.
Wes, have you learned how to tie a tie?
I've never been a tie on set.
Oh.
Before trial, I'm really feeling the pressure of all this. So I called my mom and I said, I need your help. I feel so much pressure, like this is on my shoulders. Right. If we lose, Wes is going to go to prison for 10 years. Not just regular, like maximum security federal prison. Mm-hmm. It is hard time.
And this is serious.
And I really meant it. I really need you to pray for me. Uh-huh. I'm scared and uh-huh. I need help. When you go to trial and you're a defense person, we don't see much how it really works on TV.
No.
So I'm trying to explain how it works in real life.
Yes, we need the details.
The government presents their part of the case first.
Okay.
And while they're presenting their case, it's hard. As a defense person, I just plan on feeling like they're just beating the crap out of me every day
uh-huh.
until it's our turn.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm planning on that. I've been through it many times, and I was telling Wes, the first part is going to be rough. Were you nervous, Wes?
No, if you remember, you told me that, how nervous you were. And I looked at you and I said, that's funny, because I'm not nervous at all. You got this.
Wow.
I was never worried once, because trust me, if it was looking bad, I was going to leave, go on the run, and I would have been a Mexican right now. I would have never came home. But Pam did such a great job, and even though she was stressing,
uh-huh.
she had this air of confidence. And I even called the pretrial release guy after I went on the run. And he asked me, he says, are you going to show up in trial? I was like, yeah, I'm going to show up. They don't got nothing. And he was like, well, then I won't have you picked up. You can go home every night as long as you show up. And I was like, no worries. Pam's got this. I mean, you should have seen her.
Yeah.
I would go into battle with Pam any day of the week.
Thank you. Thank you, Wes. That is really cool. This was a jury trial. So a federal jury trial means that when we do a jury pull, it's from the whole entire state of Utah. We could get people on the jury from Logan, and we could get them on the jury from St. George.
And everywhere literally. In between.
When they do that, they give them a hotel. It's a pretty big deal to be on a federal trial. And for everyone that's served, thank you. Because it is an amazing thing that our country does that.
Yes.
So
it's important to do your duty.
It really is. So they start, detective testified first. He lied again. I had prepared questions for cross-exam for us to ask.
Uh-huh.
And thankfully, Corey was really cool. He would read every question I had. So mm-hmm. the night before...
Pam.
Yes.
So I'm going to interject because I'll tell you the truth of this story. Pam goes to my lawyer because my lawyer is still giving up. He let Pam take charge of everything.
Yeah.
Pam looks at my lawyer and says, before you release a witness, you'll come back to me. And I will have questions that he wasn't allowed to release anybody till Pam okayed it.
See, I'm talking fierce. She's fierce.
And Corey did it.
Right, but it shows that he respects you and he respects you as an investigator.
Yes.
That's
so
great.
So I had all these questions when it came to Detective. All the federal agents, everyone, all their witnesses, we were asking, where are the recordings? Where are the recordings? My strategy was just to let the jury see. There are holes all over in this
mm-hmm.
thing.
Mm-hmm.
So they bring, we ask, where are the recordings? He says, you have all the recordings. And the jury's just barely hearing this. This mm-hmm. is their first introduction.
Sure.
So they don't know we've had months of fighting over this stuff. Then their next witness is Tim. Tim starts out like, oh yeah, Wes and I did a lot of business together. And he had a really hard time keeping his story straight, which
it's
is why.
It's hard when you lie.
It is really hard when you lie. And this is probably my biggest tip.
Oh, private investigator tip number 5.
Tell the truth, because you can't remember what you lied about.
No.
And if you're trying to remember, like, what did I say when I said that? So I always tell my clients, you can lie to your wife, to your bishop, your church leaders, anyone else, but don't lie to your defense.
Right.
We cannot be surprised. Because Tim was lying so much, at one point they asked him to point out Wes Oettinger. Can you see the defendant in the courtroom? This is the guy that he said is in his house all the time, right? And he said, yeah, he's right over there. I recognize him. And would you identify the defendant? He said, I don't remember his name.
Wait,
really?
You guys were buddies. You're hanging out
you
all
were
the
buddies.
Time.
You were buddies.
You let him bury C4 in your backyard.
Exactly. And remember, when he first got arrested, he voluntarily gave up Wes's name.
Right.
He knew Wes's name then, but now all of a sudden in court, he can't really remember his name. And I actually have actual transcript from the trial. And Corey, he asks him, because I had written all these questions out, and he says, do you remember telling my investigator that there was C4 buried in the backyard? Tim answers, this is right. And he said, and you told Mr. a couple of weeks ago when he met with you. That is correct. And so when was the C4 supposedly buried? Tim answers, you know, I don't know when it was buried. I do know they had given it to somebody upstairs. Jesse told me in the county jail there were still 2 pounds out there and where it was buried. So now his story changed yet again. Remember,
so now he's saying that he had contact with Jesse.
Right. Right.
And Jesse now buried it.
Yeah, that Jesse said that he buried it. So it's just a different story every time. You can't remember what he's saying. I had put in there and offered this guy a deal. So Corey asks, you're hoping that Mr. writes a letter to the Board of Pardons, right? And Tim answers, that is right, I am. So their next witness was Boo.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so I know Boo lied and said that Wes had brought C4 to his house. So what they're painting this picture is that Wes is going all over town trying to sell this C4 through Boo, and he's trying to sell it through Tim, and then he buries it in Tim's backyard, and then he puts it on the clothesline. When we did cross on Boo, and that's when it's your witness, it's a direct examination. So when the government has it, we have cross-examination on their witnesses.
Okay, gotcha.
So on cross-examination, I had Corey ask him.
Ask Boo?
Yes, because there was a written statement from Boo, and I had him ask, didn't the federal agent that showed up at your house tell you the facts before you told the agent? And he said, yes.
Oh!
Which is big.
That's huge.
Huge. That was the end of day one.
Wow.
And I was like, what? I came out of the courthouse, I called my mom, I said, you must be praying for me.
Right.
Because they came at us, they tried, but I've never had a first day of trial feel this good. Like,
and you're still standing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, man, like, I'm not hemorrhaging, I'm not, like, we're okay, we're going to be all right. So Wes gives me his tie, and...
and you practice tying all the way home.
Yes. The second day they bring Black Mike.
Oh.
Yeah. Like I say, my huge tip, not just for trials or anything else, my huge tip for life is just tell the truth.
Right.
Because if you tell the truth, here's the thing. You'll never remember what actually happened. If you are trying to remember what you said happened, you are going to get tripped up all over the place. And Black Mike got tripped up all over the place.
Which is a bonus for you.
It was awesome for us.
Awesome.
Yes.
Okay.
Black Mike did not hurt us.
Yeah.
So, of course, when I was talking to Mike, I recorded my interview.
At the house.
And when I recorded him, Mike had told me 100%, he was absolutely 100% sure that the feds had come to his house and picked up the C4 from his house, from the shed that Jesse had given him.
Oh,
remember
that's right,
that.
In the little envelope.
Yep, in the envelope. He was 100% sure. When he testifies for the government, that story doesn't work for the feds. That doesn't help their case at all.
Okay.
Because that same C4 is the C4 that was found in Wes's house.
Oh, with the duct tape.
With the duct tape.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes. It was the same stuff.
Oh,
and so,
no.
If the feds took that from Mike Wong
and found it all of a sudden in Wes's house
how
with
did the
duct tape.
What did the feds do? Release it back on the streets and give it back to Wes to say, try again?
Yeah, hide it in your closet where we can find
it. Exactly. So I'm convinced they had coached him prior. Uh-huh. So when Black Mike testified, all of a sudden he's saying, oh, no, I didn't give it to the feds.
Wes.
I think I gave it to Paul and Nada, the drug couple.
Oh.
And he had told me this. They had called him and told him that the feds were coming.
Oh, Paul and Nada had?
They had. They knew the feds were coming. Now, how would they know that? unless the feds were telling them, we're coming after this stuff. We're going after, we're going to go talk to Black Mike. We're going to go talk to these guys. Mm-hmm. So they warned Black Mike, and then the feds came, and he says he gave them the C4. He was 100% sure he gave it to them.
But now the story is he gave it to Paul and Nada.
Yeah. And they are nowhere to be found. I tried to find them, trying to find drug dealers. It's truly like an underworld that it's like the dark web.
Yeah.
It is very much so.
So now I have a question. When you record that, when he said, no, I gave it to the feds, can
yes.
you play that recording?
Yeah, and that's what we call impeaching a witness.
Oh, okay.
It's how we impeach a witness. So,
because you catch him in the lie.
Yeah, so typically you have to give your evidence to the government.
Mm-hmm.
Both sides. We
right.
share it on both sides.
And they've done such a great job of that.
They've done so well. Assuming that Black Mike tells the same story,
sure.
that it's irrelevant. But if he testifies differently from that, then we can present that evidence to say, well, we have this evidence to show
right.
that this witness has said other things at other times. It's evidence to impeach that witness.
Gotcha. Okay.
On cross-examination of Mike... Corey, he says, so when you told my investigator you were 100% sure that the officers picked it up, now you're telling us today that you're still not sure. And because they'd had this whole exchange going
sure.
back and forth, and Mike responds, no, I'm not sure. Then it just went back and forth. Mike was just so twisted, mixed
mm-hmm.
up. He was a terrible witness for them. They yeah. got nothing out of him.
Put it this way, after Mike testified, I knew I'd be going home.
Gotcha, that's funny. Did you have to ever play the recording?
No, we never did. If we thought that they'd gained ground, then we would have played it to show the jury.
Right.
But we got enough out of it by saying,
wait a minute.
You told my investigator this. The jury sees me sitting there right at defense
right.
table
mm-hmm.
the whole time. So if there's a chance that they believe him, I'm going to testify and say, this is what he told me. Here's my recording
right.
of this.
Gotcha.
And then they put Agent on the stand.
And who is he?
He is an ATF agent that he's testified in the suppression hearing. He's testified in the first trial. He is the agent that was there the night. In fact, Agent is the agent that they had undercover tricking Jesse into selling the
C4. Yep.
In your driveway?
Yes.
Oh, and that's the one he
that's
ran
agent,
from.
Yeah. What we learned during their testimony was this. Detective an agent and an FBI agent testified.
Sure.
So they had all these federal agents testifying. And what they were saying is they knew the bust was going to go down that night. And they all have earpieces
sure.
in. And they're waiting for the bust word. And I don't remember what that word was for them that night. They always choose like one word. This
sure.
is the word. And Jesse was getting scared. He just felt nervous. And there was a woman named Heidi that had set this deal up with Agent.
Gotcha.
Heidi was in trouble for drugs, so she'd worked out a deal
sure.
to give up Jesse.
Mm-hmm.
When they're there, standing in the driveway with Jesse, they're like, hey, show us the C4. The C4, really? Do you know where it was?
No.
The back of Jesse's car.
Oh, this whole time?
The whole time. Except for that brick that he gives to Mike. He has two other bricks in his car.
Oh, wow. Okay.
He's nervous.
Sure.
And so he wants to talk to Heidi again because he just wants to verify, is this guy real? Is he undercover? How do
yeah.
I know? How do I know? I'm
yeah.
really, really scared. You can imagine. He says, I need to make another phone call. I think the feds get nervous because he's going to go do something else. So they call out the bust move. And that's it. Like, they just go after him. He takes off. And see, he had his phone in his hand because he was just going to call
Heidi.
And that's why it was lit up.
Well,
and so
they allowed him to run up into my room because I'd left my phone at home. And he ran up into my quarters and grabbed my phone back downstairs.
And then when he took off running, that's what was glowing.
Yes.
And then when they tackled
and he
him.
And he threw it.
Gotcha.
The reason I came home was to get my phone. Because I'd accidentally left it. And that's part of the reason I knew it was Jesse. Because when I went in the house and I'm calling for Jesse, can't find him, I figure I'll get my phone and call, find out what's going on with him.
Yes.
Where he's at. And he, using my phone outside, that's when it really rang that, oh gosh, Jesse, you idiot.
Yes, so he's on the stand. He's the undercover guy.
Yeah.
He's the guy that he's interviewed Wes multiple times and recorded them every time, Wes says.
Mm-hmm.
And I believed Wes. And he says, no, I didn't record him. So he gets on the stand. He starts testifying. And I had one of the questions we were asking was, what about the fingerprints on the duct tape? Let's just check the fingerprints, see if Wes's fingerprints are on there.
Mm-hmm.
And Corey asks him about that. And he says, I don't know. I don't know if we checked for fingerprints. This, like, creates all kinds of chaos in the courtroom because we are really hitting, like, digging a big hole in their case.
Right.
And Rob is so upset, he calls for a sidebar with the judge, meaning the attorneys go up mm-hmm. to the judge's bench and mm-hmm. they talk. And he says, hey, like, they're bringing this up kind of like, Your Honor, they're really making us look bad in front of the jury.
Yeah, like, what are they doing?
Yeah. So it was a big enough deal that Mr. tells the judge, I have my forensic expert to testify that he could not get fingerprints off of this. And so the judge said, well, you didn't tell me you were going to bring this guy in to testify. I'm not sure I'm going to allow him. So he calls a recess in the courtroom.
The judge,
which every time a judge calls a recess, it always makes me laugh because it always takes me back to grade school. And we're in this serious, serious setting. And he's like, okay, we're going to have a 10-minute recess.
Go play.
I know. And I always think, oh, I want to be the first one to the swing.
So
we're in this totally intense, serious mm-hmm. fight. We're fighting so much, he called a recess so that we could go upstairs and could have his expert come and explain to the defense about the fingerprints so we can resolve all this. Okay, it was Wes, Corey, and me. And then across the table from us was the lead detective, Rob, the U.S. attorney prosecutor, and then his forensic guy.
Yes.
And he starts telling us that I processed the evidence, and he sounds really good.
Oh, yeah, like, very professional.
I took this C4, and it was in this package, and blah, and it had this duct tape on it, and blah, blah, blah. And I said, did you process the duct tape for fingerprints? And he said, no, you can't get fingerprints off of duct tape. And I was like, no, I'd already anticipated this also, so I had actually talked to the head of the crime lab for the whole state and asked him about duct tape. How difficult is duct tape to get fingerprints off? This guy knows his stuff. Top notch.
Okay.
And he informed me duct tape is the very easiest substance in the world to get fingerprints from.
Because it's sticky?
Yeah.
Oh.
So it's getting really mad. And the lab guy's just kind of stammering. And I said, well, did you even try? And Mr. gets so mad, he stops and he points his finger at me and he says, you're not the lawyer. He's the lawyer. You can't ask questions. So I turned to Corey and I said, ask him if he tried to get duct fingerprints off the duct tape.
Oh, I bet he wanted to smack you.
I think he did. Oh, man, it was so fun. It was so fun.
So did he ask him?
He did.
What did the guy say?
And he's like, no.
I didn't even try.
He didn't even try. And so now realizes
he's
got such a huge mess. And so he says, we will stipulate that we didn't even try to get fingerprints off of the duct tape. We'll stipulate that to the jury. So now what that means is we will go back in the courtroom and the judge will explain that
it was a lie.
That the feds did not even try to get duct tape off. So if you're going to come down on one side or the other, you have to err on the side of not guilty for the defendant because on this issue,
gotcha.
On the fingerprints.
Okay.
So it was a huge deal for us.
Yes.
Big blow to that was our recess.
No swings.
We're on our little recess break. When we came back, we actually all had a minute to go to the bathroom and stuff. Just before we'd gone into recess, the other part of the federal agent's testimony that was upsetting to us was about recordings.
Corey.
He asked him, what about the recordings you recorded my client?
Mm-hmm.
Agent said, I interviewed him, but I never recorded it. We are coming back. I'm just getting ready to go in the courtroom, and a U.S. Marshal comes running up to me. And he said, you need to get your client. What? Where is he? And he said, he has that witness over there backed against the corner. And I was like, what the hell? I go, look, Wes.
Are you running? Like, did you run? Or are you trying to be real subtle? Like,
I'm walking very fast. Uh-huh.
She was like the principal that runs up and grabs the bad student by his ear.
Hey, that's my job.
I go up to Wes. He's got Agent backed against the wall. You can feel tension.
Yes.
It was so tense between them. And I'm like, Wes, come here. And I was like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
I was explaining the word 4 syllables to him. The word was integrity. And he didn't have any.
Wow.
So Wes was saying, he's like, hey, you just testified in there that you didn't record me. And goes, what? I didn't record you. And Wes says, yes, you did. You walked in and you set a recorder down right on the table. And he's like, it wasn't running. And Wes said, yeah, you pushed those two little buttons to start it right at the start. And he's like, no, no, no. And then I came and interrupted.
Gotcha.
Walking back into the courtroom, and as we were walking back in, it just happened that Rob and Tony, the lead detective, the three of us were reaching for the door handle at the same time to the courtroom.
Right.
And it was a little tense and awkward. And at this point, like, he didn't know my name before the trial started, but now he knows my name, and I think he hates my name.
Yes.
And
yes.
I think he hates me.
Yes.
He looked at me like, I hate you.
Yeah.
Just to kind of lighten things up, I just said, hey, Rob, look, I'm really sorry. This isn't personal.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe in my client's innocence, and I'm going to fight like hell for him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's still just looking at me like, I hate you.
Mm-hmm.
So then just to be funny, I said, well, if it makes you feel any better, I'll let you punch me in the stomach. He just looked at me like, you are the weirdest person I've ever seen. But I told Wes about it. I was like, hey, it was a total trick because I have abs of steel.
Yeah.
It would have broken his hand.
Yes, of course.
So we go back in court and they stipulate to the fingerprint. So we get back in court. The judge explains to the jury.
Apparently, the prosecution has realized that they did not follow up on the fingerprints on the duct tape.
Right.
So then does he tell them, then you can't use that against Wes?
He does. He says, the government has stipulated, and they'll put it in writing. He wants them to know immediately.
If my fingerprints were found on nothing.
And then we had made such an issue of the recording that during testimony, he did admit to recording parts of an interview.
Because then it broke.
And I don't know why you would even record parts of an interview and not parts. That makes no sense to me.
Actually, it looks more corrupt.
Yeah, exactly.
Police said was that he recorded parts of Jesse's interview, but they never recorded mine.
Right, that's true. So the judge ordered the government to bring those parts of the recordings. He ordered them to bring it back to us by the end of court that day.
Okay.
So that was another big win for us.
Okay. And did they?
They did, but it was not the right recording. It was a recording that we already had that had nothing on it.
Oh, cheap shot.
And I thought they would do it. And I literally told Corey, they're just going to bring us the same crap we already have. Mm-hmm. They're going to just hand us the same recording. And that is exactly what they did.
Wow.
And it was not of these interviews that we were talking about.
Gotcha.
That were the big issue. So day two, the government rested. They had an FBI agent testify, and I really didn't think they got much out of it.
Mm-hmm.
The government rests. Listen to part three to hear the shocking, amazing conclusion to this case. You will love it, I think. I hope. Check it out.